This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Good Morning NoCo with Brian Carey and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
We're back. Good Wednesday morning. Welcome back into Good Morning NoCo. I'm Tanner Schwint, Brian Carey, my co-host, host of Next on 9 News, and the moderator for last night's Republican gubernatorial debate, Kyle Clark, joining us now. And Kyle, I posted it out there, man, and it's a genuine question. I don't know where there was more poop flying around in my household with my 17-month-old son with a stomach bug or at that debate last night. How you feeling, my friend? I know that's got to be an adrenaline dump after that thing wraps up.
And I tell you what, I needed a cigarette and a drink after that. No, I'm kidding. I don't smoke. I've never smoked, but I did have the drink.
Attaboy.
You don't blame
as
you.
As you should have. Honestly, Kyle, there were times in that debate where my jaw hit the floor, and I thought even the most creative television writers could not write some of the crap that was said and done last night. Obviously, the big thing, question leading into it, was Victor Marks going to show up after your interview that you did with him last week? He did. Just give us some of the highlights from you and your perspective of being in that room, because I'm sure there was some different feels in that room than there were coming through the television.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm glad he showed up. I don't think that he hurt his campaign by showing up. I think if you want to think about it from a strategic perspective, if nothing else, last night's debate provides some video of Victor Marks answering questions that's not the video of him sitting down with me at his compound last week answering questions, which was pretty rough. So this provides some new video of him being folksy and charming and doing his thing. And honestly, I think he really enjoyed the debate last night.
Did he come across,
I think he did too,
as a used car salesman as much in person as he did on the television?
I would not describe him that way. He's incredibly charming. He's very friendly. Both in my interactions with him down at his training center in El Paso County and last night at the debate. Listen, like, guys, he's a minister, right? He's a ministry leader who has a $7 million a year ministry. Like, you don't raise that kind of money for your ministry if you don't have a handle on how to talk and how to schmooze people and how to wrap them up in your stories and that kind of thing. Now, voters may look at it differently. Voters may say, like, actually, I want some proof that you're, like, telling the truth about these extraordinary claims about your life. Or, hey, how about some details about how you're going to govern Colorado and not just vibes? But in terms of, like, winning the, like, just want to have a beer with contest, like, I don't know if Mr. Marks drinks, but, like, I'd have a beer with him.
Yeah, that's interesting.
No, I do agree with that. He is very... He has his character down to a T.
Hmm.
You know, whether that's real or whatever it is, he's got it down to a T. And he knows the audience that he's going after and what's going to be their triggers.
You called him the Dos Equis guy earlier.
Well, he's the world's most interesting man. Yeah, he looks like the guy from the Dos Equis ad, I had thought. But what I was so impressed with was, Kyle, your ability to keep people on task, to try to get them to point out when you have just spoke for several minutes and not touched the question I asked you, your ability to go back at them with that, I think, is second to none, Kyle.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. I mean, here's the deal. Our debates don't always look like everybody else's debates, and some people get very hurt in the posterior region about that. But the fact is, these candidates have all kinds of places where they can go and repeat their talking points and repeat the same old three stories and never be challenged on any of it, right? They can do that at forums. They can do that at campaign rallies. They can do it at community events. Some news media outlets even allow people to do it on their air, which I think is a questionable choice, but it's their air. our debates are there to provide some clarity for voters and to provide a little bit of a stress test to these candidates to say, here's what you have said in the past. Here's what you have done in the past. Please account for that. Please provide evidence. Please talk about, you know, why there might be some inconsistencies in that. And yeah, you know, the debates might not be the most comfortable experience, but also so is holding elected office. The people who complain like that debate was unfair, or it was tough, or whatever else. It's like, what do you think what job do you think they're auditioning for? Walmart greeter, where you smile and you shake hands with people, and as long as you're not a jerk, it goes fine. No, like these people are asking to run the state or to get into the U.S. Senate or to be, you know, like these are tough jobs. Like they shouldn't be snowflakes about it.
Kyle, what would you say to people who thought, you know, there should have been more policy questions rather than, hey, you've said this in the past or you've said this in the past? What would you say to those people who tuned in and said, man, I really wanted to know more about what they were going to do for homelessness or more policy-based questions?
We examined these candidates' policy prescriptions to the extent that they put them out quite closely. And last night we had a situation where the three Republican candidates don't differ a lot on policy. And you heard whenever we went to areas of policy, they didn't disagree. It was just presented differently with different levels of detail. I do think that when you have candidates who have said extraordinary things, this is not like, why'd you get into a fight in high school?
Mm-hmm.
When they say extraordinary things like Victor Marx and his claims that he's made about essentially being a cross between Rambo and Billy Graham, right? That we need to ask those questions, and choosing not to ask them is a choice. To leave voters uninformed about those claims or the veracity of those claims. You know, when you have a situation where Scott Bottoms, one of his closest political allies, has called for the execution of the governor, the attorney general, the secretary of state, calling them synagogue of Satan Jews, I think it's a fair question to ask Mr. Bottoms, do you share those claims, and will your friend who made those claims be in your administration, you know, running the state alongside you? And last night he said probably, just not a job around Jewish people. That's important for voters to hear, right? And for the folks in the news media that are just like, those are sidebar issues or background, or you shouldn't talk about those things. Really?
That's
voters
exactly.
Should know about those things? I disagree.
I agree. I disagree completely.
I do, because this was and it's a fair point about the policy. I know that they differed on a couple of ways of holding funds and things like that. I thought you and Marshall did a good job walking that line. I want to go back to that moment real quick that you just talked about. I heard a laugh come through, and it sounded like it was Kirkmeyer's laugh. I thought it was Barb's laugh that I heard come through. Was it like an uncomfortable, oh my God, did he just say that? Laugh. What was that happened last night after Scott Bottoms said that?
I have not talked to Barb since then, but what I heard, and I listened to the exchange a couple of times, what I heard from her was very nervous laughter, because she almost kind of whispers in the laughter, oh my God, after he said that. What I heard in the room, which I don't think came through on TV, because all you could hear was Bottoms speaking and then Barb's mic response, is there was audible laughter in the room, either from his supporters or other folks there, and not nervous laughter, like people who thought it was funny that somebody who has talked about the treason trials and execution of the synagogue of Satan Jews will work in a Bottoms administration, just not around Jewish people. There were folks in the room who found that funny. And I found it chilling, which is why I made the comment that I think some people are going to find that more funny than others.
No, and I heard that comment, and that's so, because we didn't hear that. And I thought you were maybe responding to Barb, and which I'm like, you know, I've had limited interaction with Barb when she was a Weld County commissioner. And I'm like, that would be so out of her character to just giggle at something like that. So I wanted clarification on that. I told Brian, I said it on the airwaves right before our conversation, I don't even want to talk about Scott Bottoms. I don't want to breathe life into his campaign. I don't want to do it because he is just so far out there and such an unserious, not only candidate, in my opinion, but person that I don't even think he deserves our airtime of the lunacy that he continues to spread. He would be better joining that podcast with someone out there than trying to continue to run his gubernatorial race. Kyle, I just thought that was absolute lunacy. The other thing that I had heard from some people who were watching said, boy, I feel like some of these candidates are having to debate Marshall and Kyle. Is this normal? Is this typical? I thought where it was atypical was because two of those candidates didn't they were looking for just their screen time and not necessarily debating their policy and their points. There was one candidate, in my opinion, in Barb, that was up there ready for a typical debate. Did you sense that at all during this hour debate?
So we control the questions. They control the answers. So to take an example, when I asked Scott Bottoms, where is your proof that Colorado is infested with up to 50,000 Tren de Aragua gang members, a number that is 10 to 20 times the number of TDA gang members that the U.S. government says exists in the whole world, and you think they're all right here, and sheriffs have told you that they're about to deputize special forces veterans to go and fight the gang in rural Colorado. My question to him was, will you present your evidence tonight? He chose to not. He chose to fight with me over the semantics of, you know, was it 40 sheriffs or 50 sheriffs who told us that he was full of it, that kind of thing, and not present the evidence. We control the questions. He controls the answer. If he had said, you've asked me for the evidence of my plane, and here it is, that's what we would have spent our time talking about. When I listed off Victor Marx's claims about, you know, armed to the teeth, rescuing women and children from all around the world, first American into Gaza when the fighting started with Israel, apprehending human smugglers himself at the U.S.-Mexico border, so on and so forth. And I asked him, how are voters supposed to discern whether you've lived one of the most extraordinary lives in human history or whether you're a liar and a fraud? And then he pivots off to be like, well, I don't think we should talk about Barb's past and this and that, whatever else. He chose how to answer that question. He invites the redirect to say, why won't you answer the question about how voters should determine whether or not you're a liar? If he had simply said, all right, fair question, or even unfair question, I don't like the premise of it, but here's how voters should determine whether I'm telling the truth. That's a pretty foundational thing for a politician. How can people know if you're telling the truth, especially if you are making extraordinary claims? We control the questions. They control the answers.
How would you have liked to respond to Scott Bottoms when he did that, oh, got Kyle Clark moment? How would you have liked to respond to that?
Exactly how I did. Yeah, I mean, the fact is, we kept trying to get back to the core function, right? The core function is not, what does Scott Bottoms think about me? What do I think about Scott Bottoms? Nobody cares. People do care whether there are 50,000 TDA gang members in Colorado. Great news, everyone, there's not. He admitted last night he was confused about that. But the other thing that they should care about is a person asking to be elected governor trustworthy? People should care about that. Mm-hmm. Nobody should care a bit about Scott and I.
We're visiting with Kyle Clark, host of Next on 9 News, the moderator for last night's debate on 9 News, and also going to be moderating the Democratic debate tomorrow night.
Yeah, which I'm looking forward to. I just last thing on last night for me, watching you deal with Victor when it was always, why are we so focused on these numbers and so forth? I thought you played that so well that, look, none of us are bringing these up. If you were not screaming that you were this, then nobody would be asking you about numbers. But if you claim these numbers, it's a legitimate question to ask you how you came up with those numbers. That just determines whether you can trust somebody or not.
Yeah, and in my on that, was it as uncomfortable in that room as it came across on television? We said he was going to provide an answer, Kyle, and then he said not enough.
I mean, I think clearly there are people in the room who are very excited to clap at that. I also heard groans. I don't know what it was like at home, right? The room is 200 people, and it's not representative of the state as a whole. So I have no idea how people at home took that. But I think to the broader point that Brian was making, you know, I heard from some people that were just like, why were you trying to make them look bad? And I would ask anybody who thinks that to step back and to be like, we're asking folks about their own words and their own actions. We're not digging up deep, dark secrets from their past. We're not asking them about smears put out there by other people. We're just asking them to account for their own words and actions. If doing that makes them look bad, is that the fault of journalists?
No, I think it's fair, and I think it's also, like, I don't understand that line of questioning to you, the one of, hey, why were these the questions, instead of, you know, maybe more policy, and I think it was a fair answer that you gave that, hey, they align pretty much on the policies at this point. Who won the debate last night, Kyle?
Oh, I don't know. I tend to think that I don't think that a lot of people who came in with a favorite changed their mind, because those three people are such different flavors of Republican politics today. Right. They have a bit of overlap around the edges. But right. You know, they are three very different flavors. I do think there's the question of, if you were leaning towards somebody or interested in somebody and you wanted to see how they would handle that situation, whether they were able to seal the deal, I don't have information or data to back up how that went for people. That's a question that can only be answered by the folks watching. But I didn't sense any moment where somebody else was eating someone's lunch up there. Each one of them was doing their own thing. They each have a very distinct appeal. And the question is just, what do Republican primary voters in Colorado want right now?
It felt like Barb was ready for bear. I mean, she was loaded and ready for bear, but she couldn't get any of them to dive into debate about policy. Like, obviously, she's in her wheelhouse with the budget, and I thought that stood out as well. But I just looked at that debate last night and shook my head and say, hey, you know, you've got – typically in American politics, people get angry about what the current state is. It's too expensive, too, whatever the case. You have had a single-party control, and you still have people upset, and yet the Republican Party can't seemingly – find a viable candidate to come close. Like, I think this year we'll take a participation ribbon, or the Republican Party should take a participation ribbon if they could get somebody who could maybe contend. But I didn't see that on that stage last night.
The thing you have to remember, too, is we're in an unusual situation where two of the three candidates up there on the stage, Senator Kirkmeyer and Representative Bottoms, say they will not support Victor Marks if he is the nominee for governor, because they say that he is unfit. They called him a con man, a liar, and a fraud. And Barb Kirkmeyer specifically asked her, said, what does that mean for down-ballot Republican races, for everything else we're voting for? And she basically said, they're cooked. And she said, they're cooked right now, and they'll be even more cooked if he's at the top of the ticket. So for the folks that are just like, boy, last night was ugly, friends, buckle up for November. Because if Marks is the nominee, the other two people on the stage say they won't support him, and he's going to doom other Republicans. Now, I'm sure Marks supporters would say that's not true. They're just sore losers. You know, they don't understand his appeal. Well, the nice thing about politics is, you know, you only have to wonder about some of the scenarios. Some of the other scenarios we actually get to see play out in real life. So we'll see how this one plays out.
Did you have a line of questioning for the dog if it had stepped up to a microphone?
The only thing I wanted to say about the dog is, after extensively researching Mr. Marks for my interview with him last week, I actually came to know a bit about the dog. He takes the dog on some of his international exploits and so forth. And when he said last night, hey, you know, he's of course joking when he goes, you know, I think my dog's going to bite you, Kyle. If we had time to discuss, I would have said, Victor, I absolutely know that dog is not going to bite me, because the only way that dog's going to do it is if you order the dog to do it, and you're not about to do that. It's a very well-trained dog.
I could tell.
Kyle, we could talk with you for an hour, man, because I would love to chat about that. I thought it was a great job of journalism.
Excellent.
By you with the Victor Marks interview. I'd love to chat about that another time as well, but we'd be remiss if we didn't ask, without giving away too much, what are some of the key things for the debate tomorrow night?
Well, here again, you've got a situation where there's not a ton of policy difference between these two folks, between Senator Michael Bennet and Attorney General Phil Weiser. They certainly try to play up their differences, but again, it's differences around the margins. It's difference around the edges. So a lot of our conversation tomorrow night is going to focus on how they will lead, which means how they have led, how they will make decisions, which means how they have made decisions in the past. They'll certainly talk about policy, but it's not a particularly good use of our time for them to say practically the exact same thing to voters. If they agree on something, that's not something that we're going to spend a ton of our 60 minutes on. Where they disagree, where they have difference, where they have some friction, that's where we're going to spend our time. And again, we're going to ask them about things that they have said and done. They have not claimed to be Reverend Rambo overseas, so we're not going to ask them about that. They have not talked about an imaginary 50,000-person army of Venezuelan cartel members in rural Colorado, so we're not going to ask them about that. We are going to ask them about things that they have said and done.
I'm looking forward to tuning in tomorrow night, 6 o'clock on 9 News for that. Kyle, any key takeaways that we missed? Obviously, we've taken up a bunch of your time here this morning, but is there anything that you want to share from your experience in that room last night with our listeners?
I want people to have a sense of what that moment was like when Scott Bottom said that Joel Altman would probably have a job in his administration, just not around Jewish people. Because again, that was a moment that in the room, there was audible laughter, not nervous laughter, laughter. To me, my opinion, my feeling was that it was chilling. But on TV, because of the microphones and the cameras, what you heard was Scott Bottom saying it and then Barb Kirkmeyer's nervous laughter and saying, oh, my God, under her breath. But the experience in that room was something to behold.
Kyle Clark, host of Next on 9 News. Hopefully you don't need as big of a drink after tomorrow night, but I've got a sneaking suspicion you will. And Kyle, what was the guy's name that sat right next to you? What was his name again?
Goodness. When Victor Marx says at the end of the debate, what's that guy's name?
Oh.
And Barb Kirkmeyer goes, he's Marshall, I'm Barb. Like, that killed me. That was my favorite line in the entire debate. I absolutely love that. But yeah, I mean, there you go. There's Victor Marx, political outsider. And what says political outsider more than I couldn't be bothered to learn the names of the debate moderators?
That cracks me up. And it also cracks me up because Barb did that exact same thing to me when I first started here at KFK. She had a disagreement with our morning show host at that time. She came out there and Kyle, I mean, she tore me a new you-know-what when she came out there, and I finally said, Barb, I'm not who you think I am. I just started here. I am 18 years old. I am a sales guy here. You've got the wrong guy. So when she said that, I was like, boy, that would have been a better response to her then than just telling her who I was. So that cracked me up last night.
It was a great moment, and I will say this. None of the three of them had to be there, right? And there's a question about whether Victor Marx was even going to show up. They know that coming into debate on 9 News is not going to be like a pillow fight, right? It's not going to be a comfy experience where you just say the same old things without any challenge from the journalists across the way from you. There are other media outlets that do that. They knew that they were stepping into a situation where they were going to face some very direct questions. But you know what? That can't be a third as hard as it is as being governor of the state. So I appreciate all of them showing up, taking the questions, and actually performing a little bit of a stress test in front of voters.
Kyle, next time you're up here, Weld Works on Us. Thanks so much, my friend.
Thank you, guys. Talk to you soon.
Take care, Kyle.
Kyle Clark, host of Next on 9 News. The Democrat gubernatorial race, debate, I should say, tomorrow night, 6 o'clock on 9 News. Appreciate Kyle's thoughts there. We'll recap that coming up next. You're listening to Good Morning NoCo. Listeners, because I am sure you guys all have opinions on this and talking about the debate last night and very, you know, well-informed and all this stuff. And I know you're having those thoughts inside of your brain. But the only text that we got throughout that was Jake the geologist guy who said Scott Bottom's first order of business should be changing his last name.
Yeah, I read that. And then I remembered why I love our little group of crazies here that gather each morning.
I mean, it's a tough last name for an elected official. I mean, Bottoms is not a great last name for an elected official.
Hey, we've seen very successful football players named Butts. There's all, you know.
Yeah. Let's see here. Jake continues on. The fact that certain candidates can even get a seat at the table for such a debate shows the state of politics, and it's not good. 1,000% right.
Yep.
That I was texting, and I texted Brady last night. I said, I'm pretty sure. I said, I'm pretty sure Dustin could have, the dude down the hall, could have done better in last night's debate than Scott Bottoms, and Dustin doesn't know what GDP stands for. Right? Like, it gross domestic product.
Okay,
right?
Thank you.
And I'm pretty sure he could have.
It was gall darn penguins.
He could have gone up there and done better than what we saw last night. And I'm like, that is just, Brady responded with, what debate was his response to that? But my God, man, it was ugly. And, you know, Near Broke, I wanted to get that question in for him who was wondering why it wasn't more policy driven.
You did ask.
And I wanted to ask that to him, and his response I thought was fair. Now, everybody's got their own style. They add their own flair. You don't have to like what Kyle, hammered home on those parts, but those were those air quote gotcha questions that were thrown out there last night. And I thought, I don't know. I walked away saying there's only one candidate that is the right choice for Colorado, and that's Barb Kirkmeyer, in my opinion. That was the one that I walked away with, that, hey, that's competent. Here's what I stand for. I've got the experience of doing it, and make politics boring again. And like I said, I mean, there's nothing that Barb didn't just jump off the TV last night and be like, yeah, but that she knows what she's doing. The budget side, she was very good at talking about. So that's where I walked away with it. But I absolutely love that that's the one text we got. Is Scott Bottoms needs to change his name.
Yeah, I had something and left me there as you kept talking.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay. I'm just here to push buttons.
No, that's not true. No, that's not
well,
true.
Well, it does when I lose my brain like this. It's like, oh, great thought. And that. Damn.
Was it GDP? Was it more penguin talk?
No, but that was pretty good. That just got passed by. Gall darn penguins.
Let's buy some time back here. Your chance to win some Greeley Stampede tickets coming up on the other side, thanks to Interior Sprinkler Systems. So we'll tell you how you can do that when we come back next.
Oh, yeah. No. Oh.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
So Thursday, June 25th at the Greeley Stampede is going to be a very, very special night. It is the first PRCA Pro Rodeo, which we will have Rodeo Radio for, but it will also be Military Appreciation Night.
Oh, and what a way to get it going.
Our incredible partners over at High Plains Honor Flight are going to be involved with this, and,
yep,
and just truly an emotional, you know, you talk about unison and how sometimes it's harder and harder to find in this world. You find it at Military Appreciation Night for the PRCA Rodeo at the Greeley Stampede. And thanks to Interior Sprinkler Systems, we have two tickets to give away today. These are box level seats for you on Thursday,
man.
June 25th, 7 p.m. Make sure you can go if you're entering to win. I'm looking at you, Oklahoma. PRCA Rodeo Military Appreciation Night, Thursday, June 25th at 7 p.m. Two tickets right now. Be the fifth texter that texts in USA. The fifth texter the text in USA to 888-530-0043. That's 888-530-0043. The fifth texter to text USA to 888-530-0043. You'll get two tickets to the PRCA Pro Rodeo that night, 7 p.m. on Military Appreciation Night. It's that night is always so incredibly special, right?
I don't know that we have done a Military Appreciation Night and not been brought to tears from the start of it with Will's prayer, mm-hmm, to the flags, to the anthem, and then during the rodeo when they bring the veterans through,
yeah,
and we get a chance to honor them. It is an amazing feeling.
It's truly special. So again, the fifth texter to 888-530-0043 that sends in USA, you'll get two box level seats for this incredible evening. Thanks to Interior Sprinkler Systems. Find them online at interiorsprinkler.com. 9:42 the time now. Let's get a break. We'll be back with more Good Morning NoCo next. Forty-seven. The time. Congratulations. I don't have a name yet, I suppose, but the texter with the last 4-4-9-1-3, you are the winner of the two tickets to the PRCA Pro Rodeo on Thursday, June 25th at 7 p.m. Thanks to Interior. That is one of those words.
It's really not that hard. Interior Sprinkler Alert. Interior Sprinkler Systems. Systems is easy.
They're rethinking their buy
Good
with us at this
Lord.
Point.
I feel like the idiot who just flipped somebody off in traffic and then ran into a car.
Yeah, those instant karma moments are the greatest. And that was one right there. Thanks to Interior Sprinkler Systems. Find them online at interiorsprinkler.com.
You were kind of pushing it there.
100%.
Yeah, it was.
The Madden cover has been announced.
Yeah, sorry, Bears fans. It's going to be a rough year for you. Caleb Williams will be hurt in week three and out for the year.
Yeah, correct. You know, I think some Bears fans are trying to cope and say, like, oh, Patrick Mahomes has won a Super Bowl and stuff like that. Like, it's never good. Like, I'd rather my guys not be on there.
Oh, I mean, it's cool as hell to see it. It's just there seems to be some legitimacy.
Yeah.
In historically of the curse of the cover.
Yeah. Yeah. There certainly, you remember Peyton Hillis? Sean Alexander?
Oh my goodness.
Like, I know I'm going way back.
But no, but it's true.
That's when I owned the games, was back then. but yeah, Caleb Williams there. What a disaster they have going on of trying to find a new stadium, by the way. Just an absolute disaster. It looks like they're moving to Indiana, possibly.
I mean, how could Chicago... Yeah. Lose the Bears.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean,
know.
If there's just, you talk about one city, an iconic sports franchise, Bulls, Cubs, and Bears.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's Chicago, man.
I know. It's what a disaster that they've got going on. That's what Faye said. We do that ourselves, of getting ourselves in this truck. Because, like, the Broncos are just, like, instantly, like, hey, we want this spot. Okay. Buckingham Palace.
Where the hell were you going? I thought you were heading to Alabama. I didn't know.
Yeah, it's not Birmingham. Burnham Yards, I think is the name of it. That's the area. That's the plot of land that the Broncos bought to build their new stadium. Let me ask you this. How do you feel about the new stadium having a dome on it? Because I absolutely hate it.
I am not in favor of that at all. That strictly was done to try to get a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So that they could control the climate at that time of year. What you're doing is taking away one of the things that made the Denver Broncos and made it such a problem to come here, mm-hmm. was the elements. And we've seen it happen once last year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the timing was bad for it, but they had to play in it too.
Yeah, you know? I hate it. We're trying to, because there's nothing. There was a Cincinnati Bengals Baltimore Ravens game played in the snow. I didn't give a damn about the game, but it was so beautiful to watch football being played in snow. And we're doing away with it, and that's what's wrong with America right now. This new generation is soft. And this is what it is, Brian.
I agree, and this has been coming up a lot lately.
Yeah, right. Why couldn't Victor Marx have said that last night? I'd be like, you know what? This guy's got a point. We need out, so we make football outdoors again. I hate it. I hate that they're
Well,
doing
actually,
it.
The president is the one who usually makes a sports comment like that.
Yeah.
Like, okay, change your name back to this or all that, and no, there will be no indoor football.
Something that could unite the country. No indoor football.
I know there's some places where climate is rough, but that's part of playing in it. For me, football was made to play outside.
Correct. I agree wholeheartedly on that. I agree wholeheartedly. T.J. Rumfield is the National League Rookie of the Month.
Is he? He went through a bit of a stretch before this month. I mean, he had started out, and we were all, okay, we got our guy here. This guy looks for real. Then he hit that, like, Tolia stretch. Where we're like, oh, is that who he is? But he's come out of that. He's so young.
Yeah, rookie of the year. Hopefully, maybe not, but rookie of the month at least.
Yeah, that's awesome. You rack up some things like that, people are noticing.
TJ, where's all the rum gone? Rumfield, the National League Rookie of the Month. He had a .310 batting average in the month of May, 400 OBP, 883 OPS, 4 home runs, 12 RBIs. In the month of May for the Rockies.
I understood a couple of those stats.
400 on base percentage, OBP.
Okay.
And 883 OPS.
You don't even know.
No.
Yeah, octopuses play soccer.
Okay, I got to stop using acronyms around Brian. I got to stop.
And they're good. With those eight arms,
mm-hmm.
they usually put them, you know, in the net.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the goalies. It's hard to get a soccer kick.
On
past
plus slugging is a comprehensive statistic that measures hitters' overall offensive production by adding their on-base percentage to their slugging percentage.
There's too many damn stats in baseball.
Are they good at getting on base, or do they strike out a lot but hit really good home runs? That's what the OPS stands for.
Okay.
Now we've got it. Is there anything else that I had? Anything else you had?
No, NBA Finals starts tonight.
You know, I've decided I don't care.
Yeah, no, I think that's been rather obvious with the amount of time we've given it. but I think I'm looking forward to seeing the Spurs and the Knicks.
I'm not.
I think
be
it's going to be a cool spectacle.
Why, because DirecTV's in a conflict with ABC now.
Yeah, it seems like every month somebody's in a conflict with somebody in those contract deals. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I hate it. I hate it. Because I tried to flip it over to the Vegas Golden Knights and Carolina Hurricanes game last night. It's like, we've just recently entered into a dispute. It's like, well, figure it out. I paid too much money.
I get two feeds.
Which I don't know why.
Of that network. So that one is from, like, the local one, and then I think I get another one that beams in from another place.
It's so weird to me. Like, it's so
like,
weird.
But I've got it on one of my channels.
Yeah, because you said get one of your channel sevens.
I have two channel sevens. First one, blacked out, no agreement. Went to the next one. Hey, we're cool.
Well, it's ABC then, the deuce, because they've got two channels rocking. I had no idea. I've never seen that. I love that for you. And shout out to Maureen, who was the ticket winners as we wrap up this segment.
Oh, very good, Maureen.
Says, thank you. We have many military family members, so they're excited to go. So shout out to Maureen. Jake says, bring on the stats with a laughing face emoji, because we don't know what OPS was. That's pretty good. Love the gift game by Jake and Faith.
He's pretty good at it.
Get these contract deals always seem to happen when there's something big going on. That's not a coincidence. 9:54
the time
not. Now. Let's go ahead and take a break. We'll wrap up the show next.
Hey, where did we go? Days when the rains came.
9:57 the time. I'm scared to read Dixon's text. I will let you check that out. Make sure I don't miss anything because I'm a little naivete at times. I am.
Good. Yeah, no, that's fine. Old Naughty by Nature song. Dixon says, not sure about OPS, but I'm down with OPP. You down with OPP? Yeah, you know
I
me.
Don't know.
No, that was Naughty by Nature, other people's property. It was about going out with another guy's girl.
Okay. Sorry, Dixon. Too young over here. My bad. So funny text by Dixon. Right? Good job.
Yeah,
good job,
it worked,
buddy.
Man.
Coming up on Coach Speak, a really cool event that's going on right now over at the Greeley Mall is the DuPort Portugal Circus at the Greeley Mall.
Yes.
You had some family members that went to this the first time around, I believe, right?
Absolutely, and loved it.
Yeah.
My granddaughter absolutely was just absolutely riveted watching.
I love that.
Yeah. Lots going on.
Irvin and Eva Rodriguez with Portugal Circus going to be joining Bruce on the other side. Bruce will also talk with River Sawyer, latest CSU recruit that's going to be on as well. So a good show coming up. But make sure you stay tuned because you will have chances to win tickets to the Portugal Circus as well coming up on Coach Speak. Whole show 11 to 2 today. Brady's breaking down college athletics. What a disaster.
Yeah, that's what he was just giving us a little preview of what he's been watching, the court case and so forth. And there's so much going on behind the scenes, and I'm so glad he kind of has a grip on everything.
Yeah,
because Brady pays attention to all this, and he'll have good information for us. I don't get a lot of it.
We're on the same page. Yeah. We listen to Brady and try and get that information.
Yep.
That's what we do. But yeah, it's politics and football. What better combination? I mean, it just goes like it just ages like milk. And so I absolutely love that. Whole show 11 to 2. We'll have the Rockies looking for a sweep of the Angels tonight.
They're going to get it done.
Okay. Who's,
I don't even know who's throwing
Michael
tonight.
Michael Lorenzen.
Oh, that's
and
right.
7.22 ERA against Urania.
Yeah, we'll win 12 to 10.
12 to 10. Okay, yes. I like that. Let's keep that offense going.
Take the over.
Thanks to Kyle Clark who joined us. If you missed that podcast,
Dynamite.
It's available on 1310kfk.com. Thanks to Robin Varwin for the one and only Brian Gary. I am Tanner Schwent. We love you, Northern Colorado. We will talk to you in the morning.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.